tonight, a sermon entitled Fighting for Life. I had another sermon that I thought about, and I was working on it this morning, and I thought the Lord maybe wanted me to preach that one, and so I'm going to leave it for next time. If the Lord stays the same, I'm going to preach a sermon next time when God helps us, called Taking Off the Grave Clothes. I don't understand why someone would hear the voice of the Lord come jumping out the tomb. Because you know when God called, Lazarus. Lazarus, come here. He went, yes, Lord. When you wrap from head to toe in grave. The problem is there are some people 2-3 years later. You still talk about. It's time to take the grave clothes off. But that's another sermon for another. Y'all going to have to wait for that one. That's called a cliffhanger. I'm hanging you on a cliff till next time. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 is what we want to talk about tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, wonderful portion of scripture. The Bible says we are different because our citizenship is in heaven. I got a quick question for you tonight. Are you different? Are you different? Because the word of God is saying tonight that when you are a child of God and you are on your way to heaven, you should be different. There's a young man, some of you might know this story because this happened here. A young man by the name of Travis Kaufman. He's 31 years old. He was out for a jog. Now, before, when I read this story, I would be like, man, this can't possibly be true. But after hanging out with y'all this week and finding out that you guys invite bears to come, like, hang out at your crib and act like it's no big deal. No, sis, somebody told me, listen to what they said. We had a bear in our front yard. Yeah, it was eating from the trash. I wouldn't respond like that. Just the mere thought of a bear coming anywhere near my house, I'm moving. I'm not just moving another house. I'm moving another state. So Mr. Kaufman, y'all know I'm talking about this. Yeah, we had bears. No, we didn't have no bears this week. I'm sorry, y'all. That bear thing messed me up. Let me get back to the word of God. Mr. Kaufman was out jogging here in Colorado. Beautiful place to go jogging because the weather is perfect. While Mr. Kaufman was out jogging, a mountain lion jumped out of a tree or behind a rock. I don't know where it came from. But it saw Mr. Kaufman and decided Mr. Kaufman looked like a chicken nugget. Now, he's not a very big guy. He's 5'2" or 5'3". I don't know. But this mountain lion decided that brother's going to be my dinner this evening. Mr. Kaufman began to wrestle the mountain lion. He was able to flip it over. He jumped on top of it and with his bare hands strangled it to death. Y'all didn't hear what I said. I know. See, when y'all hear this story, you're like, but Pastor, it's just a mountain lion. No, it still ends with lion. I don't care where a lion come from. If your last name is Lion, this man fought a mountain lion in hand-to-hand combat and won. You know why? He was fighting for life. There's a lady. Let me tell you another story. There's a lady. Her name is Julianne Kopack. Put her picture up there for me. Julianne Kopack. In 1971, was on an airplane, flight 508, that got struck by lightning. And the lightning blew the plane up. She fell 10,000 feet, still strapped to her airplane seat, and she fell in the Peruvian Amazon jungle, still strapped to her airplane seat. That is a commercial for wearing your seatbelt right there. She broke her collarbone. She tore up some knee ligaments, and she had a concussion, some other injury. This lady, listen, first of all, the plane you were on got struck by lightning. If that wasn't enough, it blew you out of the plane. Plane kept going. Now you're flying by yourself. And of all the places that she could have fallen, she fell in the Peruvian Amazon jungle. Do you know the kind of stuff that's in the Peruvian Amazon jungle? I saw a video the other day. I think I was looking up the Peru. I was actually looking up this little frog. There's a little frog in the Peruvian Amazon jungle. It ain't but about that big. It's a tiny little frog. Well, in this video clip, a snake saw the frog and decided that it was going to make a meal of the frog. The problem is the snake hadn't gotten the memo that this frog was a devil frog that never should be messed with. That's why I think God made it like red and black. Red and black stands for demon, leave it alone. This snake, so the frog is on a leaf. The frog is on a leaf. Like he's so small, he could just sit on a leaf and he was just chilling. Ribbit. The snake is up in a tree and the snake's kind of, you know how snakes move. He's like, I got you. And he's coming down. The frog saw the snake. Most creatures, if they see a snake coming to get them, they'll run. The frog didn't run. The frog just went, you better find something else to do. Ribbit. The snake wiggled down. And if you know anything about these Amazon snakes, I don't even know how to do it. The snake was still, like, it's a part of his body was still in the tree. It was like wrapped around a limb, and it was half of it was hanging in the air, hovering over this frog. And I'm telling you, the frog was sitting there like, you ain't finna do what I think you're gonna. You gonna regret this. He just sat there, ribbit. The snake bit him. Ha! I'm sure that's not what the snake said. That's what the snake said when he bit him too. Ha! The frog didn't move. All of a sudden, the snake went, and it just starts, it starts flapping out, and then it fell right out the tree, graveyard dead on the floor. I think the frog looked at it and went, you didn't get the memo, did you? That little frog is one of the deadliest creatures on planet Earth. That's in the Peruvian Amazon jungle. I don't know what his name is, but we'll talk about it later. In the Peruvian Amazon jungle, they got a snake. We just talked about the snake, but not that snake. They got another snake called an anaconda. If you look up the name anaconda in the Hebrew and the Greek Bible, anaconda starts for gonna kill you. That's what it means, isn't it? This snake gets big enough to eat a grown deer. You know how big a grown deer is? That's in the Peruvian Amazon jungle. In the Peruvian Amazon jungle, they have alligators or crocodiles. They just give them a deer. They call them caiman. Don't that sound pretty? Like the Cayman Islands. Caiman. No. It's just a caiman. No, it's not. It's still a crocodile. Do you know that in the Peruvian Amazon jungle, they have real black panthers? Not Wakanda ones. The Wakanda ones can't really hurt you. These black panthers, the last thing you hear before you see Jesus is, wow! Next thing you know, like, how did I get here, Lord? This girl was 17. She fell 10,000 feet out of the air, bam, in the Peruvian jungle, and yet she survived. For 11 days, limping through the jungle with all that until she came up on a logging camp and she was rescued to where she could write a book. You know how she survived? She was fighting for life. In our text, it says we are different. I wonder how different we would truly be if we fought for heaven the way people fight for earth. Let me put it another way. I wonder how different we would serve God if we fought for the life that is to come the way people fight for this life that they can't keep. Keep my picture up there. Go on, just keep it up there. Because I want. How different would your walk with Christ be? How different would you look at church and the Bible, and if you were willing to do some of the things and give yourself for the life to come, the way people give themselves for this life they can't give? I have a friend. I have a friend who lives in England. My friend, every time I see him, I want to tell him, listen, man, you can stop now. My friend is one of these gym guys, one of these 24-hour fitness brothers. You know why they got 24-hour fitness? Because there are people who will get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym. And be the devil is the last when the sleep is at its best. I ain't getting up no. He's one of them. Every time I see him, he is growing. Not an ounce of fat. He just. His suits are becoming spandex. I'm like, bro, you need to stop. You are like done. You are like finished. I wonder how different our walk with God would be if we were willing to lift this Bible. I wonder how different our walk with Christ would be if we were willing to curl this Bible. I'll never forget going to one time I went to Phoenix. I was preaching in Chandler, and a friend of mine said, hey, Pastor, have you ever had a Jamba Juice? I said, no, I've never even heard about a Jamba Juice. He said, let me take you to Jamba Juice. I'm going to hook you up. I was like, okay, I trusted this brother. I still trust him. He's a good brother. But he took me to Jamba Juice. Y'all know about Jamba Juice? Y'all heard? He took me to Jamba Juice. He told the girl, he said, just hook him up, hook him up. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, they're going to make like a caramel macchiato, maybe with an extra shot, you know, put a little vanilla in. No, said the girl. Okay, no problem. She opened the drawer. She took out some scissors out of the drawer. Scissors? She walked over to the window of the store. On the windowsill were some pots. In those pots, grass were growing. She took the scissors, cut the grass, chip, 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 chip. Took the grass that she had just cut from the windowsill, put it in a blender, threw some other foolishness in there. Once I saw the grass, I quit looking. I was like, something's gone terribly wrong here. Did you just cut that grass from the window? I don't even eat grass from my front yard. She blended up and said, this is a wheatgrass horseradish something or another. That'll be $11. My daughter is into the medical field and health stuff, and she's like a little scientist. She said, ooh, Dad, you need to drink chia seed. I'm like, what's a chia seed? I know about chia pet. I don't know about no chia seed. She said, no, Dad, drink it. So I think my wife bought some chia seed, and she put it in a cup with some water. Do you know what happened when you put chia seed in a cup with water? It turns to snot with black pepper in it. Why would somebody drink black pepper snot? Because they want to live. Beloved, I wonder how different our Christianity would be if we were willing to give ourselves. Think with me, and this is why I'm preaching this tonight. Think about where we're going. Think about what's waiting for us. Jesus said, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, my God. How many of you ever had a little Debbie cake? Don't lie right now. Be like, no, Pastor, I am such a healthy eater. You know you've had a little. How many of you had a little Debbie? A little Debbie. Okay. Little Debbie. Little Debbies are made in a factory, and they're made like 10,000 at a time. They just doom, 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 doom. We don't even know what's in it. We know sugar's in it. That's all we know. How many of you have ever seen a fantastically designed wedding cake? Are you able to get pictures? Are you able to pull up pictures? Are you able to, but can you get a picture of a, like, just a brilliant, I have one, but just the most brilliant wedding cake. Have you guys ever seen, I've seen some wedding cakes in my time. You wonder, how long did it take somebody to make? I'm talking about, I've seen wedding cakes where they got like a ballerina on top of the wedding cake, and they got the couple, you know what I'm saying? Somehow they made the couple, and the couple's holding hand and walking around the cake, and it's like 15 tier, you know what I'm saying? They got a, What's the difference? Because they're both cakes, right? What's the difference? A little Debbie cake, the price too. That's good too. A little Debbie cake is created. There's no thought in it. There's no nothing. A wedding cake is prepared. They're both cakes, but one is made with no thought, no. The other one is designed. The other one is prepared. Jesus said, the first time I created all of this, I didn't even really have to try because I'm God and everything that comes out of me is perfect. He created. The Bible says this time, he said, I'm not creating anything. I go to prepare. This is what the Bible, leave the cake up there. Leave the cake up there. Make everybody hungry. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Listen to what the Bible said. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies. Now listen right here. I'm getting ready to give a whole bunch of people an opportunity to shout me down. Like Pastor said earlier, don't miss your opportunity. You with me? If you've ever had a back pain or a knee pain or a neck pain or an eye pain or an eyelash pain, don't. Listen to what he said. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Listen to what the Bible said. Listen to my Bible. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortality. That's how you have to say that word. You can't say it. He said, right now we are mortal, which means we are fragile and frail and breakable. But he said, I am going to transform this mortal body into a body that is immortal. Oh, y'all ain't getting what I'm saying. Right now, we're living in the Marvel superhero hour. And, you know, I didn't really grow up with superheroes. My brother was into comic books, but I was never in. But I do like a couple of them because they're kind of cool because, you know, they beat up the bad guys and save the world. The problem is all the Marvel heroes have this weird weakness. You ever notice that? You know, Superman is the baddest man in the world. But if you go to Krypton and get a rock, you can knock him over the head and kill him. With a rock, a little, you ain't even got to get a big rock, just get a little kryptonite rock and bam, and super, You got Spider-Man can jump, but take that little red suit off of him, you know, and turn them little things off. My favorite Marvel character is the Incredible Hulk. I just like that brother because he just muscled and just jump. Do you know all you have to do to defeat the Incredible Hulk is tickle him? That's it. That's all you got to do. What do you mean, Pat? Because in order for him to be the Hulk, he got to get mad. And so he's there to get a feather and go, he's like, stop, man. I'm trying to turn you. The Bible says our superhero has no weakness. And the Word of God says one day we will be like him. I don't even know what that means. The mystery of it makes it even that much more exciting. Because there's one, oh my goodness. Do you know some of the things that Jesus was able to do? Do you know that Jesus can walk through walls? I'm not going to try because I don't need to be. Some of y'all looked at me like, no, Pastor, don't do it. I'm not immortal yet. You know the Bibles, do you remember how Jesus went to heaven? He's talking to the boy. He's like, hey, man, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and baptize them and make disciples. All right, see y'all later. And he just kind of just flew away. And one day we will be like, can you imagine? I've got a trip to Nigeria coming up. Do you know how long that trip is going to take? I got to fly from Killeen to Dallas. Dallas to Doha. I don't even know where Doha is. I don't even know what is a Doha. Then I got to spend a whole bunch of hours in Doha. Then from Doha, I got, do you know, once I get to Jesus status, be like, hey, I'll be there in a minute. How different would our lives be if we begin to understand and embrace the fact that we will be like him? Yeah, okay, let me give you all. I tried, that example didn't work because y'all, okay. Have you ever, I saw here, you guys have Lowe's here. You have Lowe's and Home Depot? You got both of them. Have you ever gone to Lowe's and you walked into Lowe's and you went there to go, you know, look at a drill or look at some, you know, some manly stuff like a saw. You know what I'm saying? And you go in and you saw the sheetrock. You went, oh, my God. Look at this sheetrock. Oh, my God. Honey, come look at this sheetrock. Oh. Have you ever done that? You've never done that? Have you ever gone to the carpet store? And you walk in, you're like, oh, Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Joseph. Look at this carpet. And then you touch, oh, my, Pastor, ah! You've never done that? You know why we don't do that? Because we don't act like that over building material. It's building material. Ain't nobody ever been in love with no sheetrock. Me and the pastor, I was in England recently. The pastor and I were driving down the road. In front of us was a tar truck. They were patching the road. Would you have thought something was wrong with us if we would have put the car in park, jumped out of the car, grabbed our briefcases, dumped out everything in the briefcase, ran up behind the tar truck and went, man, hey, man, please, brother been struggling. Can you put a little tar in here, please? You would have thought something was wrong with it. Because who would do that over pavement? The Bible says the city where we're going, he paved the road with pure gold. You ain't gonna never be hungry in heaven. Because if you get hungry, just kick a rock. It's gold. He made the walls of the city out of the most precious gemstones ever known to man. Why did God do that? Because there's going to be things in heaven that are going to be so beautiful and so rare and so special and so magnificent that the things that we kill and die on earth for won't even matter. Up there, can't even compare. That's the city where you're going. And so the question then becomes, so okay, Pastor, if we were living for that city, what would be different? First thing that would be different is we would begin to treat sin as if it has the power to rob us of not only this life, but of the life to come. We would begin to treat sin the way it's supposed to be treated. Put that first picture up for me, and thank you for the cake picture. That was... I'm sorry, skip them pictures. Go to the Go to the one with the COVID ones. Go to the COVID one. Look at this picture right here. Look at this picture right here. This brother or sister, I'm not sure, went to Home Depot. We just talked about Home Depot. Went to Home Depot, bought, I don't even know what they bought, some PVC pipe and some monkey tape. Because that's not that cheap duct tape. That's the black, that's the good duct, that's the monkey tape, that's the gorilla tape. Bought all that to make him an anti-COVID suit. Go to the next one. Darth Vader went to Walmart to go get some, I think there's some chicken in that cart. Go to the next one. Oh, Lord Jesus. My only hope is that there ain't no water in that bottle. Because I'm thinking that brother in bubble. Okay, the last one. Poor, that's the same thing. Oh, poor Fido. The dog don't even know what's going on. That dog's just going. You know why these people did this? I know it's been a little, but you know, at the time, there was a virus killing people. And these people were doing this because they were saying, I want to survive. They were saying, listen, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care if you laugh at me. I don't care if you call me names. There is a virus killing people, and I am willing to do whatever I have to do to ensure it does not kill me. That's how you would treat sin if you were living for heaven. COVID killed a lot of people. We'll never know. The numbers are all. But we do know how many people sin has killed. Everybody. The Bible says, Matthew 5:29, if your right hand causes you to sin, take it out and throw it away. It is better to lose one part of your body than to have your whole body thrown into hell. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better to lose one part of your body than to have your whole body go to hell. We know the Lord's not advocating for self-mutilation. But what he's saying is sometimes when it comes to the fight against sin and when it comes to choosing heaven over hell, you may have to make painful decisions. You may have to cut things off that will hurt. You may have to make decisions to let go of things that you deem absolutely necessary. But if they have the power to rob you of heaven, you must be willing to get rid of them. There was a girl in Africa. She went to a healing crusade. She had a problem with her eyes. The pastor prayed for her, and when he prayed for her, immediately there was a miracle. Her eyes, immediately God did a miracle. And then immediately the problem came right back. And the pastor was puzzled. He said, sis, what's going on? He began to just ask her, what's going on? She began to confess, pastor, I'm living with a man who is not my husband. I'm living in sin. The pastor said, listen, you need to cut this off. And God just showed you that if you are willing to cut this off, God will set you free. And she said, no. She said, no. That's what I'm talking. You know why she said no? She said no, because I don't want to pay the price. But oh, sis, you're going to pay the price. And it's going to be much higher. It might not be right now, but it's going to be so much higher than you ever wanted to pay. That's what Jesus was talking about. Something else that would be different is how we treat forgiveness. Listen, I don't know if I've said this. Listen. Don't allow someone, I believe we dealt with this last night. Don't allow someone to hurt you on earth and then, because you refuse to forgive, rob you of heaven. Why in the world would you give anybody that kind of power? Think about this story, and then we'll talk about this a little bit. The Bible says in Matthew 18:33, very familiar story. The Bible said there was a man that owed his master what would be the equivalent of billions of dollars today. You can read the story. He would have owed billions. The master said, you need to come and give an account of how much you owe. The Bible says he comes to the master. He owes billions. He said, Master, I'm sorry. Give me more time to pay the debt. Help me here with the math. If you owe somebody billions, more time's not going to make it better. More time is, do we have any financial people like, you know, do we have, what they call them people that do the what they call them? Do we have any accountants here that can help a brother? Do we have any, is there anybody here working IRS? Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Because I have to talk to you about some other stuff later. But if you owe somebody billions, do you understand the interest? And he said, give me more. But isn't that a picture of people who live in sin? He said, Lord, give me more time to get it together. If you could have got it together, you would have it together. More time ain't going to help you. More time is going to make it worse. He said, Master, have mercy on me. Give me more time. The Bible said the master felt sorry for him and forgave him the entire debt because God always gives us more than we ask and more than we ever deserve. Somebody forgive you billions. Billions with a B. Somebody forgive you a $1 billion debt. Are you going to just walk out the room like, thank you, man, you're such a nice guy? You're going to walk out a little excited. You'd be screaming and hollering, telling everybody, the Bible says he gets outside. When he got outside, he saw a fellow servant that owed him the equivalent of about $5. He grabbed him and he began, the Bible says he began to shake him and choke him and say, it's your fault. When you make yourself a victim, that's exactly what you're doing. You are blaming someone who had very little to do with where you are for where you are. What is it? He said, it's your fault I couldn't pay the debt. That's a lie. Did he contribute? Of course. But that's not the reason you were in that debt. The Bible says he does this, and other servants were watching, and they went and told the master, and we read these words, and these are some scary words right here. Listen to what the master said. Verse 33. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave, who owed you little by comparison as I had mercy on you? And in wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers until he paid all that he owed. Verse 35, my heavenly Father will also do the same to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. The scary part is he said, and in wrath the master turned him over to the torturers until he paid all that he owed. But we just read that the debt was forgiven. It was forgiven. But when you refuse to forgive, you reaccumulated the debt. I say it one more time. Don't allow someone to hurt you on earth and then rob you of heaven. We are different. We think about sin different. We think about forgiveness because there's a city waiting for us. Let me ask you again, what would be different? One thing that would have to be different is whether or not you have your passport. I didn't even know I was going to preach it. We were talking about passports earlier. Revelations chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne of God. And the books were open. And then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as it was written in the books. That is everything that was done on earth. The Bible says in heaven there are two books. There are two sets of books. One set of books is written every single thing you've ever done. For some of us, that is really scary. I'm going to pause right there so y'all could be honest with yourself. Be like, no, Pastor, for me ain't nothing written. No, yes, it is too. Every thought, your thoughts are written in the other book. There you go. That's how I, sister girl, that's how I feel about it when I think about it, like, ooh. Because I know I be thinking some stuff like, ooh, Lord, cut me off and try. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I thought that. But then the Bible says, and there was another book. That other book is your passport. When I travel overseas, I wear special clothing because I want my passport to be on me at all times. And I continually touch it. I usually have a pair of pants that has what they call a cargo pocket right here. And I just keep touching it because I understand without this book, I may not be able to go home. Let me ask you first and foremost, is your name in the book of life? I know our names are in the other book. Is your name in the book of life? Because that's your passport. And if your name is, every single day, you need to make sure it's there. Every day. Every temptation. Nope. Every opportunity. Nope. I'm not giving away my passport because the Bible says I am a citizen of another country. Let me close with this thought. I got a credit card. I got an airline. It's a business credit card. I use it for my ministry. Along with that credit card came an enrollment into something called Global Entry. I didn't know about Global Entry. But when I got Global Entry, I was like, whoa, this is different. Let me tell you about Global Entry. When you come home from an overseas trip, there are three lines. The first line is, you are not a citizen of this country. You go over there. That line usually has a lot of people. You're going to wait forever. The other line is, you are an American citizen. You come over here. The third line is Global Entry. Most of the time, Global Entry, there is not even a line. There's just some computers. You walk up to the computer. You smile at it. When you smile, it takes your picture. And someone says, welcome home, Mr. Johnson. You're like, for real? Do you know in heaven there are lines? The Bible says there are lines, but there are just two lines. One on the left is for the goats. I don't even know what that means. I don't even want to know what that means. The Bible says the other line, in that other line, belongs all those who have their passport and who are on their way to the golden city, and they will hear those words, welcome home. This is not your home. This is not your home. We're just passing through. Some of us get to pass through for a while. Some of us get a very short time. But what must be under, this is not your home. The Bible says our citizenship is in another country. Bow your heads with me tonight. Heads about, eyes are closed. Our citizenship is in another country. We are different because our citizenship is in another country. Very quickly tonight, we're going to close this service. I'm not going to hold you long. I know most of you here. I've seen you, and I know your family. So I won't hold this out long, but you're here tonight. You are not forgiven. I just talked about where those who are forgiven is heading to the golden city of God, a city, the Bible says, where the streets are paved. If the streets are paved with gold, I can't fathom what else. That's where those who are, you can only get there if you are forgiven. Before we do anything else tonight, you're here, you say, Pastor, I am not right with God. My sins are not forgiven. I don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If that's you, before we do anything else tonight, would you let us pray for you? Say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm going to heaven, but I want to. I don't know if I am, but I want to. Would you pray for me? If that's you, lift it up right now. We'll pray together. We'll pray together. God bless you, sir. Thank you. How many more? You be honest, Pastor. I just want to be forgiven. I just want to be right. I want Jesus to write my name in the book of life right now. How many more? Amen. Maybe you hear you backslidden away from God. At one time you were serving the Lord. At one time you were walking with Christ. But as you see tonight, You be honest, Pastor. I've gone back to things that I know does not please God. Would you pray with me? Would you lift it up, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up? Amen. Pastor, would you have someone pray with my brother for me? Church, would you stand with me tonight? Would you stand with me tonight? Would you stand with me tonight? Would you stand with me? You can pray right where you are. Would you pray with him right there for me? Church, of all the things in this world that you need to be sure of, nothing is more important than where you'll spend eternity. If we are unbelievably blessed of God, if we are just, it's not luck. If we are unbelievably blessed of God, we get 85 years? 90? Do you know how in eternity that's one breath? My wife and I met, I was 19. I'm 50. 31 years went by. Eternity's forever. Make sure your citizenship is there. Say, Pastor, how do I do that? Make sure your name's in his book. Make sure your name stays in his book. Would you come pray with me tonight? We're going to spend a little time at this altar praying together. We're going to believe God together tonight. Which is just, oh God, help us tonight. We thank you tonight, God. We praise you tonight. Will you stand with me? Will you stand with me? I want to share something with you tonight. Oh, living God, help us tonight. I'm going to send you this picture, my brother, but I don't know if you'll have enough time to put it up for me. Sometimes I just get a thought, and I want to send you a picture, then I want to tell you about this picture, and then we're going to pray together. He got it. He got it. Can you put it up for me? Incredible picture. This picture, I want to pray for you tonight. I want to believe God together. Listen, the Bible says the disciples Jesus raises from the dead. Jesus raises from the dead, and he's talking to the disciples, and I can only imagine their enthusiasm, their joy, their faith would have been absolutely through the roof. I mean, they saw him die. We talked about it this morning. They saw him completely torn, completely to shreds. And then they're standing there talking to him. You could only imagine the faith that these men must have had. And yet Jesus said, "You're not ready. We're not ready. You're not ready. There's one more. There's one more that you need." What is that? You need help from heaven. Let me tell you about this picture. A young man is an Olympic runner. He was in a race. And as he was running, he pulled a hamstring. And he just began to limp. It was horrible. You could see in the middle of the race, he's running. And all of a sudden, he gets this injury and he begins to hobble. It's horrible if you can imagine. He's weeping. There's another picture. I won't send it to my brother. We don't have that kind of time. But let me see if I can show you the other picture. He's weeping. He's been training. And can y'all see that? He's training and What happened is his father was sitting in the stands. And his father saw the injury. But his father also saw that his son got up and tried to limp across the finish line. Listen. God cannot help you if you refuse to keep going when you fall. I never forget, as a new convert, one of my favorite songs that said, "And the saint is just a sinner who falls down and gets up." You stay down there, very little a father could do. But oh, if you'll keep. His father had to fight some people because there were guards. And his father fought through them all and said, "That's my son." Jumped over the barrier, ran onto the field, onto the track. And he put his arm around his son. And that's how they finished the race. You can't finish the race without your father's help. Because the truth of the matter is, sometimes we're running full speed, but most of the time, we're barely limping. Come on, somebody. Thank God for you. If you're here tonight, you're like, "No, Pastor, I'm Usain Bolt in it. I'm just, yeah." Thank God for God bless you. But I want to pray tonight for the precious people. I say, "Pastor, I'm not laying down. I'm trying to go forward, but I sure need my father's help because it ain't easy." Listen to me. The worse the world gets, the harder it's going to get. You know why the harder it's going to get? Because we're going to watch family members and brothers and sisters in the kingdom. My wife and I were just talking today about some of the precious people we grew up in the kingdom of God who are, God knows where. That hurts. It hurts, man. And it's hard. You know what I know? I'm finishing my race. I want every one of you tonight to say, "Pastor, I need my father to come out of the stands. Come and put his arm around me and help me finish this race." That's not to say that in a little while you might not feel the strength and the power to take off again. But I'm saying right now, you're saying, "Father, I need your strength. Would you come stand with me tonight? Because I want to finish this race. I plan to finish my race. I'm not quitting. I plan to finish my race." I want you to listen to me for just a second. God just quickened something else to my. Is there anyone here at this altar? You are not full of the Holy Ghost. Let me see. You say, "Pastor, I don't speak in tongues right now. I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost." God's been filling people with the Holy Ghost here lately. It's been, and I really do believe this because we're living in the last hours. Everywhere I've preached here lately, I've been amazed. People getting filled. I was in a church a while ago with a young man. I remember him when he was a toddler. He had backslidden. He came back and he's trying to serve God and live for God. He grew up. His father was the door director when he was a toddler. And he said, "Pastor, I've never been filled with the Holy Ghost." I mean, we prayed and the power of God. I told you about the girl who got filled with the Holy Ghost through the computer. She couldn't get to church. She had to watch it on live stream. This happened in Walthamstow. I'm preaching in Walthamstow, England. She's watching on live stream because she couldn't get to church that night. I'm praying for the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God went through the computer and Microsoft. She's sitting at the computer when we prayed at the church. She prayed and got filled with the Holy Ghost through it. Come on now. That's because God's saying, listen, we're in the last hour and my children need my strength. And so come, sis, come stand. He said, Pastor, I'm not full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, come on. He said, tonight's your night. Anyone else tonight? He said, Pastor, I'm not yet full. Don't back up. Don't leave me. Y'all stay here. Hey, I'm just trying to sneak away. I see you. Okay. So what we're going to do, sis, we're going to pray tonight, and you're going to be able to just join us. How long you been saved? How long you been coming to church? Just a little while? A year. Awesome sauce. That's what my daughter said, awesome sauce. That must be some delicious sauce. Awesome sauce. We're going to pray tonight. I'm going to pray for the whole church. We're going to believe God together. We're going to ask our Father to strengthen. Listen, God wants to fill you with the gift. This is your gift. When you speak in tongues tonight, it will be the first time in the history of the universe that language has ever been spoken, because it can only be spoken by you. It's a gift that has been yours since the foundation of the earth. And the Bible says the moment you ask your Father for your gift tonight, he's going to give it to you. You with me? All you have to do is receive. You say, Pastor, how do I receive? By faith, when we pray, God's going to give you the ability. That's what, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, God didn't like take your tongue and go, woo-hoo-hoo. That's not what happens. You know what he gives you? He gives you the ability. You remember the story of Peter? Remember the story of Peter, how he walked on the water? You ever heard that story, Peter walking on the water? Okay, real quick. So the story goes, they were in the boat, right? And Jesus came walking on the water, right? And they thought he was a ghost. Why did they think he was a ghost? Because if you've ever been on a lake when it's really windy, when it's a storm, there's these things called swells, right? Swells go up and down. When in a storm, the swells are huge. So Jesus walking on the water, meaning sometimes he was up, sometimes he was down. So what was happening is he was appearing and disappearing and appearing. And they're like, that's got to be a ghost. Jesus is like, I'm not no ghost. It's me. And Peter was like, I'm not sure if it's really you. If it's you, tell me to come out there. What did Jesus say? Oh, for real? Well, come on out here then. Did he turn the water into concrete? Did he like turn into Rubber Man and just stretch his arms and then grab? He didn't do that. What did he do? He didn't do anything. He said, come. The moment Peter asked, the Lord gave him the ability. That's what he gave him, the ability. In order for Peter to walk on water, in order for Peter to go from the natural to the supernatural, he had to take a step of faith. That's what's going to happen tonight. We're going to pray. God's going to give you the ability, and you're going to speak in tongues by faith. Because he loves you, sis. You believe that tonight? You believe God loves you? You understand you're not here by coincidence. You are here by a divine appointment with God. He could have called anyone in this whole city, but he chose you because he loves you. You with me? And he wants to give you the strength to finish your race. I want all of you here, lift your hands with me. I'm going to pray a simple prayer tonight. Lift your hands with me. Lift your hands with me. Lift your hands. And when we finish pray, we're going to speak in tongues. And our sister, I'm going to pray for her. And the Bible says the moment I lay my hands on her, she will receive the gift. And she will have the ability to speak in tongues. I want us all to just join with her and worship God together. If you're with me, say amen. Pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight for the wonderful promise of heaven and eternity. Lord, I thank you tonight that I am forgiven by the blood of Jesus. My sins are washed away. My name tonight is in the book of life. Lord, I'm asking you, strengthen me. Give me the power through the Holy Ghost to finish my race. And I thank you tonight for all you're going to do in my life in Jesus' name. Right now, begin to worship God. Begin this. There it is. It's all. That's it. That's it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it.
Let him hear you. Come on.
Say, speak it. Yes. Yes. Fill it with the Holy Ghost. Yes. Mary dear, fill him, Lord God. Holy Ghost of God. Yes, Lord God, we thank you. God, would you touch him? Come on, give him praise tonight, church. Yes, look at that. Look at that. He's touching her right now. Fill her with your spirit, God. Fill them with your power, God. We thank, oh, mighty, wonderful living God. Move in there. Would you give God praise tonight? He's so worthy. He's so holy tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's still touching her. Still touching her. Oh, still touching her. Sharamamando robobosa. Help me speak in tongues, church. God, we thank you. Fill her with the Holy Ghost. Baptize her, God. Pour out your love. Pour out your joy. Pour out your acceptance. Pour out your goodness, God. Yes, God, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. That's how it's supposed to be, right there. Right there, wonderful living God. Hallelujah. Amen. Give him praise with me one more time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, God. I'm going to throw this out there real quick. Then I'm going to let you go. I'm going to throw this out there real quick. Because I don't want to leave without being obedient. Something God kind of quickened in my spirit tonight. In that story of Peter, in that same exact story of Peter, something very fascinating happened. Jesus calls him, Peter, come. Peter steps out of the boat and he began to walk on the water to the Lord. The Bible says, and I probably need to write a sermon on this. The Bible says, then Peter began to look at the wind and the waves. And it said these very powerful words, and Peter began to sink. No one in the kingdom of God just sinks. Okay. Have you ever jumped into a pool or jumped into the ocean? You don't begin to sink. You sink. Right? Then why did it say Peter began to sink? Because God was showing us that when you take your eyes off the Lord and begin to put your eyes on the world, the falling away is not immediate. Things, you begin to sink slowly. You're here tonight. I'm not going to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. That's not what the Lord wants me to do. But listen to me tonight. If you're sinking, you need to cry out to God. Say, Pastor, what does it mean I'm sinking? Someone said very, very powerfully, when you stop caring externally about your relationship with God, it means internally your relationship's already damaged. When church becomes an option, when giving becomes an option, when prayer and faithfulness, when you no longer care about the word of God, you no longer care about prayer, when you no longer care about calling your pastor and talking to him, when those things begin to happen, you're beginning to sink. And what will happen is one day we'll wake up and have no idea where you are. No one has ever backslidden. No one ever woke up one day and said, okay, this is it, I'm done. That's not how it works. They were sinking for a while, and they did not cry out, and eventually the waters of the world got over their head. Don't do that. Don't do that. Powerful. In that same story, the Bible says when Peter realized he was sinking, he prayed one of the smallest prayers in the Bible, and yet one of the most powerful. You know what he prayed? Lord, save me. That was the prayer. That's the greatest prayer you can pray. Lord, save me. And the Bible says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and took a hold of him. I feel like I'm preaching a whole nother sermon, but I don't want to. Listen, think about this with me. Think about this with me. He was so far away from the Lord that he thought he was a ghost, right? Right? And yet the Bible says when he cried out, the word of God said immediately. The Lord Jesus Christ is much closer to you than you realize. He may seem very far away, but you cry out to him and you'll see how quickly he can be there to rescue you. Are you with me tonight? Listen, I tell you every time I come, I don't know if we'll be able to do this again. If not, I'll see you up there. I'll be the one up there digging holes in the concrete, trying to accumulate some gold. Just say hello. Or the one fishing in the crystal sea. That's probably what I'd be doing. I don't know if we'll be able to do this again. But one thing I know for sure, I'm going to heaven. I tell people, I don't even like going to Arizona in the summer. I don't do heat. I'm going to heaven. And that should be your attitude in your heart as well. I'm making heaven my home. Are you with me, young lady? God loves you so much. And he accepts you for who you are. One of the things that ought to make you rejoice is he knew you before you knew him. And he loved you then. And he loves you now. You with me? And he's going to continue to pour out his love and his joy. What you felt tonight, that's not abnormal. That's what he had for you. And he's had that for you. And he's got so much more. Are you with me? And I don't know if you've spoken, I don't know if you spoke 10 words or just one. But I know God was all over you. Did you speak in tongues? You don't know? I don't know if you said, you might have said like, and it was like, that was it. Sometimes that's how it is. I know people said one syllable. I know people, they're still standing in church speaking in tongues. We leave the light on for them. But know this for sure, the living God fell on you tonight with his love and his mercy and above all, his acceptance. You with me? You are a child of God. That ought to give you encouragement. Bless God. Pastor Jesus, would you come tonight? Let's believe God together tonight. Thank God for you. I'm not going to hold you long.